Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Hopefully, we're going to finally finish our series on the seven I Am's of Christ. This will be our third message from this good and deep and tremendous passage. We could probably preach a lot more messages from John 15, just when you start looking at especially the discourses that the Lord gives and the things that He told the disciples. There are just some tremendous and deep truths in them. But I hope that the things that we bring out tonight will be a blessing to you as they have been to me already. We'll just read beginning down in the whole context is verses 1 through 11, and you can even take it to the end of the chapter, but we're just going to pick up here in verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his loves. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this tremendous passage of Scripture. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word tonight. Lord, that we have liberty and freedom to study your word. We can understand it, Lord. You've given us a mind and the capability to think, and that we can look at your word and know truths from our lives, Lord. We can gain knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that tonight our hearts would be open, that, Lord, your word would come in deep. Things maybe, Lord, that we need to change or address in our lives and hearts, that we would do so tonight. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Now, the last time we studied this passage, we discussed what it meant to bear fruit, and we talked about how that the believer must be abiding in Christ. And we brought out three points, that the believer needs to be cleansed, the believer needs to abide, and the believer needs to obey. Well, I wanted to kind of take some of those things and go in a little bit different direction tonight as we kind of do a conclusion of this passage and a kind of a summary. But I wanted to go back and remember what the fruit is that we bear as Christians. What is the fruit that we bear as Christians? It is the result of what we do for the Lord. It is the result of our service for the Lord. And what is that result to be? It is to be the people that our ministry, that our service affects. Especially here, for example, to kind of bring out the point, just think about the ministry that we have here. Think about the different aspects of our ministry. We have the Children's Bible Club that sends children literature out and has a good radio broadcast ministry, and Aunt Carolyn writes stories and things. It's a ministry to children, to people. The Youth Athletic Club, with all the people that come onto our campus to play sports or be involved in the summer camp, and the programs that we have, it's, again, there are people on the campus. When we even have the projector ministry, where the paper goes forth out to who? To people. And what is the desire of our heart? That these people will be blessed by what they read. That they will be pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ by what they read, or when they come onto the campus, or when they get literature from the Children's Bible Club. Especially in the school here, we have a lot of children in our classrooms. Is there going to be fruit from how the Lord uses us, evidenced in the lives of the children that are under our care in the school? Or even the outreaches and the ministries we can have here in the church. It is a unique ministry that we are able to have an effect or impact the lives of people. And if we are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're going to bring out tonight, if we are not abiding in Him as we do these various aspects of the ministry, if we kind of begin to trust in ourselves, then there will not be fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ in the lives of people. It'll be something that we tried to manufacture, or something that we tried to force and manipulate into people. We have the opportunity here, even as believers, if we're not involved with this ministry, maybe it's at our job that we work, and whatever profession the Lord has called us into, we still have a ministry. We have a ministry to be a shining light. We have a ministry to bring the gospel and to let that affect people, and the fruit that the husbandman can then accept and look at through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember also here in this passage that Christ is about to leave. He's about to depart. He's about to be separated from the disciples. This is the last night before his crucifixion. As in just a few hours from this, as he's speaking this, the soldiers are going to come and arrest him and take him to the trials that he's going to go through. And then he's going to be taken to Calvary. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be in the tomb. He's going to resurrect. And then he's going to see the disciples again and spend some 40 days with them. And then he's going to ascend into heaven. He's fixing to leave them. His physical presence is no longer going to be with the disciples. And he is drawing their attention here. One of the things that Christ wants to mention in these various chapters in the book of John, as he gives his final words to the disciples, is that they have the responsibility in their ministries to bear fruit, to have an impact through the gospel into the lives of the people that they come into contact with. And obviously, if we look on into the book of Acts and see the ministry of the disciples, we can see the fruit that they bore. We can see the many people that came to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So this passage is really, in one standpoint, has to do with proper evangelism. How am I going to go out and affect the lives of people by giving the gospel to those around me? It's not really from the standpoint of those being evangelized, but from the standpoint of those that are giving the gospel. And obviously in evangelism, there are two sides. There's the side of the sinner. And we could speak about the sinner and his need and why he needs to be given the gospel and why evangelism is needed because of the need of the sinner. But also there is the side of the servant or the evangelist or the one that is going to carry the gospel. How is he to do this? What power is he to do this in? What are some dangers in doing evangelistic work or that all of us are called to do? We're all called to be witnesses. We're all called to be evangelists and to give the gospel. There are some dangers that if we are doing it in the flesh, if we are just living our mundane day-to-day lives without relying on Jesus Christ, without abiding in Him, then there will not be any fruit for the glory of the Father. So Christ is focusing on the perspective that the servant must have when carrying forth with the task of the gospel. You know, too often we have maybe the wrong motives or the wrong viewpoint when leading people to Christ. And the Savior has to take time here before the disciples are being separated from Him to nail down in their minds and hearts what is the proper way to go out and now be the servants. I've given you the Great Commission, or He's fixing to give it to them as He departs. How must they approach that? They must do it by abiding in Jesus Christ. This is so important to Christ that He gives it as some of His last and final words to the disciples. Believers, therefore, we should take note of this passage. It was very important to the Savior. God sees the results of the ministry as fruit. God sees how the ministries that He has blessed and how He is being faithful to and how He has people that are abiding in Christ. He looks down and sees the people that are affected and the people that come to the Lord Jesus Christ as fruit. And it is something that brings glory to His name. Now, as we saw last time, back in verse number 1, is one of the first and primary principles for any servant entering into evangelism or any Christian that wants to share the gospel is to remember that the husbandman is in charge. Verse number 1, yeah, Christ is the true vine, but the Father is the husbandman. As believers, we are to be faithful in planting the seed, faithful in giving the gospel so that people will come to Christ and be the fruit that the husbandman is looking for. But a lot of times we like to mix the process around a little bit. We like to be the inspectors. We like to decide what is fruit and what's not fruit. It's very clear in this passage that the Father is the husbandman. You know, there's some movements try to, you know, I've led 6,000 souls to the Lord this year, and look at me, everybody, and I'm the leading soul winner in the country and all this stuff. But what are we doing? We think we're counting souls. That's not the true aspect, the true perspective of the soul winner that He should have, that we as Christians should have, that the Father is the husbandman. He hasn't called us to decide who's saved and who's not saved. He's called us to give the gospel, to faithfully be in the vine so that the gospel is going forth and bearing fruit to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father. He's the husbandman. He determines the fruit. Another principle we saw last time came from verse number 2 is that the branches can go through times of barrenness. Branches can go through times of barrenness. It may be that the believer maybe becomes dull in his Christian life, or he allows maybe worldliness or materialism to affect his heart and his life, and it kind of affects his ministry as well. In verse number 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He was bearing fruit, and there come a time where suddenly the fruit production has ceased, where this branch is not doing the work of the Lord for the glory of the Lord, whatever the situation may be that has caused that. And it says that the Lord taketh away, and we studied last time how in the Greek that is the idea of lifted up. When the Lord looks down and he sees one of his servants, or he sees a branch that has stopped producing fruit for whatever reason it may be, God doesn't just chop the branch off and give up on it and throw it away, but he takes the branch away, or he lifts the branch up. He raises it up so that it is in a better position to bear fruit. God will work in our hearts when we allow selfishness to come up. When we're doing things for the wrong motives, when we're serving in the ministry and sometimes we rely on our flesh, or, you know, sometimes we do the things that we want to do rather than relying on the Lord. The Lord's going to work on our heart and convict us and try to draw those things out of us so that we can continue to bear fruit. And the passage here continues on in verse number 2, that it may bring forth more fruit. The Lord wants us to continually be more conformed to Him. He wants to continually remove the selfishness. Continually remove that old flesh out of our hearts. Get it out of here, because if it's in the way, we're not going to be able to bear more fruit. And eventually reach another verse here, talks about having much fruit in verse number 8. That is what the Lord wants us to attain, to achieve. And if we have our flesh in the way, if we have our pride in the way, or our love for the world, our materialism, whatever it may be that is hindering us, then we cannot be the effective branch in the vine that the Lord would desire us to be. Now, in the rest of this section here, Christ gives several principles that as he talks about fruit bearing, several principles about abiding in the vine, beginning down in verse number 4. And I want to look at some of these points tonight. They all have to do with one idea. I want us to try to get this point across. This is the idea of totality. If we are to be effective servants for the Lord, bearing fruit for the Lord, then everything has to be given over to the Lord. There's not some halfway thing here. Well, Lord, I'll give you part, or I'll give you half of this. It's got to be a total dependence on the true vine in order to be an effective servant in the ministry for the Lord. A successful fruit bearer or minister or evangelist, whatever you want to put in the blank there, it is all done, it's successful to the glory of God when it's done through Christ. That is the only time the Father can receive the glory. A total dependence is needed in several areas. And I want to look at this tonight, but you know, that is just a contrary thought today, that we have to be dependent on something else, that we have to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our world teaches us to depend on ourselves. I'm sufficient in and of myself, and I can trust my own talents. I can trust my own abilities. And many times, if we're not careful, we allow that mindset to come into our hearts. And being dependent on the Lord is not even on the radar. We're so self-dependent, we don't even think about Him sometimes. I'm just going to go do this. I've done it every day. And, you know, it's so dangerous and easy to fall into that mindset. You know, I think about just teaching in the school here. You know, I'm teaching classes that I've taught 3 or 4 times and had students the same amount of time. I've seen some of them 3 or 4 years, not because they failed, just because they're in high school that long. But it's easy to think, oh, I've done this before. This is no big deal. Without saying, Lord, I better be relying on You today, because I don't know what's going to happen. If we reach the point where I'm just going to go in there and I've got this, it's no problem, then is there going to be any fruit in the lives of people for the glory of God? People will maybe see what you've done and they may acknowledge your talent and ability or whatever it may be, but there will not be any glory that is brought to the Father, which is mentioned in verse number 8 that we're going to get to tonight. Now, first of all, what is the first thing the believer must know? It is a total dependence, as I said, first on the true vine for fruit bearing. Look in verse number 4. Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, can't bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, believers, except ye abide in Me. If there is to be any fruit in our service, in our ministries, as evidenced in people coming to the Lord and being the fruit for the husbandman, then that fruit will only come by being in Christ, so that He alone is the source of the power. He alone is the source of the enablement to fulfill that ministry. You know, we often depend on ourselves or even on human activities. We depend on activities that we do, and which, though those activities may not be wrong, they may not bring the fruit, because it's kind of emphasizing what we're doing, and it's not bringing the glory to the Father that needs to be brought. Simple thought is often so hard for us to grasp. You mean I do nothing? I don't have to work to produce this fruit? You know, we like to plan and organize and manage those things. And of course, you know, we need management and planning. But sometimes we can think we can work a situation to where I can bring the fruit. Or if I step in at this certain time and say this certain thing, then I can bring the fruit. And we rely on ourselves too often rather than letting the Lord empower us and enable us. And He will guide us into the proper times. And He will bring to our minds what to say. And then we will sit back and realize, wow, without the Lord, I would have never been able to get through that and to be a blessing to whoever I was talking to. Then the glory goes to the Father in that case. It is abiding in Christ, not our human effort, that brings forth the fruit. So many times in our churches, we get that confused. We think we have to exert a lot of human effort in order to produce what the Lord's looking for. And it's so simple here that we can do nothing. That if we are not abiding in the vine, we will never bear forth the fruit that will bring the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father. Now, verse number 4 begins, abide in me and I in you. Now, this thought in the Greek is better understood as a continuation of a command. Abide in me and see that I abide in you. Let me repeat that. Abide in me and see that I, Jesus Christ, abide in you. How do you see that Christ abides in you? By living such a life that Christ will continue to abide in us. Christ will be in us. There will be fellowship with Him. This is the power and the enablement of the work of fruit bearing here. But we have to make sure that we are trusting the Lord, that we're walking with Him, that we love His Word, that we're reading His Word, and we're being faithful to the Lord. If we are over here being faithful to other things, and we like the world more than we do the Lord Jesus Christ, is that seeing that He's going to bind us? No. We're thinking we can get power from something else. But seeing that Christ will abide in us, being in Christ, means that He will give the power to do what He has called us to do. I brought this out in our Bible class this week. We were studying the book of Acts. We're going through Acts this semester. And in one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me into Jerusalem and Samaria and in Judea and under the uttermost parts of the world. Ye shall receive power. It's the word in the Greek there, dunamis, which means you will receive an enablement. Here's the task the Lord is telling the disciples. Here's the task that you're going to have to do. But don't worry, I'm going to provide for you an enablement. And through that enablement, you will be able to complete any task that in my will I give you to do. Boy, that is such a great promise for us to take as believers. Sometimes the Lord may put us in a situation where we think, wow, how am I going to get through this? Lord, you've put me here. I've got to trust that you are going to give me the enablement to do this task. It's all abiding in the vine. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get the ability, the nourishment, so to speak, the ability to produce that fruit, like it says in verse number 4, that a branch in a physical sense can't bear fruit of itself. It's attached to the trunk, and the trunk's attached to the roots or whatever the plant system is that we're talking about. And the nourishment is coming up not just from the branch, but it's coming from that main system, being connected and abiding to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we fail, it's typically because we did not abide in Christ, but we went outside of Him to fulfill a task. Well, I've done this a million times. This is no problem. Or, you know, that mindset is so easy to come up. And we just, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I've done it a lot. Well, we better go into that task, even if we've done it a lot, relying on the Lord. Lord, help me to do it again. Help me if something changes or something happens in this task to be able to know how to respond and how to react to the situation here. Abiding in Christ, maintaining fellowship with Him in order to receive the guarantee that Christ will abide in us. Put it this way, a servant that is out of fellowship with God will not be effective. Will not be effective. No matter what your calling is, if it's a teacher in the classroom, if it's even a pastor in the pulpit, if it's working wherever, the yard here, whatever it may be, working in your job, being a witness there, if you are out of fellowship with the Lord, then you will not be effectively used of Him. Now, verse number 5 drives this point even home. Look at verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. First, in verse number 5, the distinction between the vine and the branches is given here. Look at this. Christ is the vine. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. It's almost as if he had to say, remember now, disciples, remember, you're not the source of power. I am the vine. Christ is the source of the power and enablement. Ye are the branches. And the Lord is going to use the branches by allowing His power and enablement to flow through the branches to bear fruit for the glory of God. We are therefore totally dependent on the vine. Without Him, we can do nothing. Now, those who are abiding in Christ, in verse number 5, it says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. This is a great quantity of fruit. In itself, the branch has no resource. I found this statement and I thought it was pretty good. It says, in Christ, the branch bears the clusters and the fruit, but it does not produce them. We think so many times we're in the business of producing the fruit. This is going to be a man-centered ministry is what it'll end up being, where we think we can produce everything, that this is the result of what I did, and love to take the glory for it. We bear the fruit. We don't produce the fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the power for that. A.W. Pink, he wrote this in his commentary. He said, the branch bears what the vine produces. So the result is expressed by the Apostle Paul, to me to live is Christ. It is important that in this respect, we should be brought to the end of self with all its vain efforts and strivings. And then, when we come to the end of ourself, and then there comes to us the assurance of unfailing resources in another, Jesus Christ. When we come to the end of ourself and realize, this is just not working. I've been trying to do this in the flesh for so long, and it just fails, and we realize, I don't have the power to do this. I don't have the resources to do this. I can only do this to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful time when we as believers can realize that lesson and learn it and continue to produce more fruit for the Father. Now notice how verse 5 ends here. For without me, ye can do nothing. The Greek is the idea of severed from me, cut off from me, ye can do nothing. If you are not in Christ, rooted in Him, then ye can do nothing. We love to think how that sometimes maybe we have the wrong mindset that Christ and the ministry just need me. You know, if it wasn't for me, nothing would happen. And we just think that we are that Christ is depending on us and that the ministry would not continue without us. But the reality is that we can do nothing. We can do nothing, even if it's a small task, great or small. If we do it apart from the vine, we can do nothing valuable for the Lord. You know, one fallacy is to believe that we need Christ for the big things. And when the little things come along, well, you know, I can handle those on my own. When a big thing happens, I'll pray to the Lord and ask Him to help me for that. But how often, you know, we go through the regular day, just the mundane tasks of the day, just the things that come up, and we depend on our own knowledge. Or we depend on our past experiences. You know, I've heard our pastor say so many times how sometimes when he'll get a phone call and he'll look at the number and may not recognize it, he just says, Lord, just be with me as I take this call. And he just takes the call. Or I've talked to some of you that are businessmen before and you said how sometimes you say a prayer before you open an email and the Lord just undertakes. Just a little tiny task of opening an email or answering a phone call. I got that, Lord. Don't worry about it. Without me, you can do nothing. Even the small little tasks that so many times we just think we've got the power to do. And the Lord, step aside. This isn't something easy. I've done it a million times. If you're severed from me, you can do nothing. That whole phone call or that situation we then go through will not glorify the Father. We may make it through to the end. We may even force an outcome in our favor, but no glory will be brought to the Father. But when we say, Lord, I'm depending on you. When we get through the situation, we look back and we say, "That I know that wasn't me." All the glory is going to the Father for what He's done. Now, may this be a reminder to us in our daily ministries, just businessmen, whatever the case may be, even if you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever it is, may this be a reminder to us that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Even in raising our children, disciplining our children, apart from Christ, we can't do it to glorify the Father. But with Him, as Paul stated, we can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I know that's such a trite statement today. Our world is, you know, kind of made, oh, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And they put it on everything, and it's all in the sports arena and all kinds of things. But I don't want to the world's abuse of that statement to make us think it's not really an important statement, but it is. I can do all things that the Lord's called me to do through Him. He strengthens me. You know, we can do nothing spiritually good, but with Him, all things are possible. If He's called us to do it, He can give us the strength and the power to do it. Now, before we continue on, we got to look at verse number 6 here before we come to some final points of our message, because verse number 6 is a very controversial passage. Let's read it. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. This is kind of like the alternative to not abiding, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, there's a lot of interpretations of this passage. The Lord's helped me to find one. I don't know if some of you disagree with me, that's fine, but it's not like it's a life or death thing. But there's been a lot of controversy here that people say, oh, a believer can get out of fellowship with God, and he can backslide, and he can lose his salvation, and he's cast out, and things like that. I personally don't believe that a believer can lose his salvation. The Bible's very clear on that. That we are in His hand. We talked about that in John chapter 10, that the Father has us. We are secure in His hand. But when we look at this passage, a lot of people that want to make it that way, they say, well, there's two different classes of people here. They try to come up with different things here. It says here in verse number 6 that if a man, they say, well, that's a different class of people than what the Lord is talking about previously. And but when you look in the Greek, the word man is not even there. It's been put in by the English. It's not even there, but those commentators are obviously relying on an English translation. But the translation in the Greek is, unless anyone abide in me, he is cast out as a branch. It's still continuing the thought, and we're talking about believers here. And again, we're not talking about salvation, we're talking about fruit bearing. Way back when we first started this, the first sermon we preached on this passage, that's one of the points we made, that this passage is not about salvation. It's about fruit bearing as a believer and what it means. What's the fruit? What is a believer to do in order to be a part of this fruit bearing? Now, verse 6 says that if any believer abide, I mean, that's who Christ is talking about in this context, the believers. Who abides not in Christ, he is cast forth. This word in the Greek is for cast forth is the idea of being finished with something because it's no longer useful. So you just cast it aside or drop it. But carry this idea to the end of the phrase. It is cast forth as a what? A branch. Not cast forth as a believer. The Bible didn't say that, but it's cast forth in its function as a branch. Let's continue on. Again, remember, we're talking about fruit bearing, not salvation. The husbandman cast forth this may be the husbandman not using certain branches for a ministerial function or for fruit bearing any longer. Many people consider maybe this is the stripping of gifts and talents or the taking away of opportunities that the believer did not improve upon or the bring fruit upon these certain things because he did them in the flesh time and time and time again. And there's no fruit to the glory of God because this believer kept doing things in the flesh. Let's look at some verses. I'm going to read this one. You don't have to look at it. But Matthew 5:13 talks about the salt losing its what? Savor. Is that maybe what is going on here? That a believer can reach a point where he's not salty anymore. He's lost his ability to have that preserving effect. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Let's flip over to Luke chapter 8. Keep your finger there in John. But look at Luke chapter 8. I know this is a difficult passage, and we're going to try to get through it. Luke chapter 8. Look in verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth or thinketh to have. Maybe the ministry that the Lord's given us and we abuse it. Well, we do it in the flesh, day after day. And there's no fruit for the glory of God coming from my function in the ministry anymore. Then what's the Lord going to do? He's going to cast it forth as a believer and make him lose his salvation? No, it doesn't say that. It's going to cast him forth as a branch. That little phrase is the key, I believe, to this verse. Thus it is possible for a branch to stop bearing fruit. Now remember back in verse number 2, the Lord doesn't give up on you the first time. He raises you up, verse 2. He's going to try to get you, hey, no, I'm going to convict this believer and I'm going to try to get the flesh and work on him and the Holy Spirit working in his heart to try to conform him more to Jesus Christ. But if there comes time and time again where the believer just keeps working in the flesh, then is the Lord going to put that person in a position of service? Because if he's in that position of service in the flesh, will any fruit be brought that glorifies the Father? No. It'll be fruit about what I did. And why would the Lord have that in his kingdom? He would not. He doesn't want people bearing fruit to themselves, so he may remove their function as a branch. Let's continue on here. God will not use a vessel or an instrument or a branch that is caught up in selfishness, that's caught up in worldliness, that's not abiding in Christ for strength. Because as we already read, if you are not abiding in Christ, then everything you do glorifies yourself. It does not glorify the Father. So then on to the end of the verse, it even gets more kind of confusing here. Men is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice there is a change in number. If you know anything about number in the English language or in any language, it's singular to plural. Notice that. Notice here in verse number 6 how it changes to the plural. They gather them and they are burned. This is not a singular branch thing. This is a plural. It's talking about many things together. And as one commentator I wrote or read said, he says, the them and the they are what issues from the one who has been cast forth as a branch. And what is it that issues from such a one? What but dead works? The wood, the hay, the stubble. This branch may have been in the position of service, position of ministry, and because that branch did everything in the flesh, all of the works, the results of what he did are what? Worthless. Wood, hay, and stubble. Rather than gold, silver, and precious stone. If you are trying to work in the flesh, in your Christian life, and in your service, you are bringing nothing of value to glorify the Father. And those things are cast into the fire. They're judged. We could read that passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about the things that are judged, whether to see if they're going to be wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone. They're judged in fire, and what's obviously going to happen to wood, hay, and stubble? It's going to burn. But gold, silver, precious stones are purified, things that endure and last. God will not always take, listen now, God will not always take second place and continue to use a man. A Christian can't be a soul winner or being used to give the gospel if it's not a burden in his life, if it's not a priority in his life. And sadly, many Christians wither away and become powerless in the ministry, and God can no longer use them because they're so consumed with themselves. They're so focused on what can I bring to God rather than what God is going to do through me as I'm in the vine and let Him do the work through me. So after this warning in verse number 6, Christ goes on to give the other imperatives for fruitfulness. We want to quickly look at those as we close tonight. First, we saw that there was a total dependence on the vine. There's a total dependence on the enabling power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse number 7, notice there's a second area of total dependence. It's total dependence on God's word and prayer. Look at verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. When the believer is abiding in Christ, and Christ's words are in the believer, then this work of fruitfulness will continue and it will increase. Notice here that there is a dependence first on God's word. You know, our lives as servants, as ministers, must be regulated by the Scriptures. By the Scriptures. Our pastor has been preaching on that lately, that where do we go to for our standards? Where do we go? Are we going to listen to the other voices, or are we going to come to the Scripture? If we want to be servants of the Lord that bear fruit that glorifies God, we have to be dependent on this book and following it in our lives. In order to bear fruit, it must be a constant communion in the Word, where the Word abides in you. It's not a laborious exercise, but it's a habitual, constant communion with the Lord. If we're totally dependent on His Word, then the Lord will be able to use us in a greater way. Another point in this verse is the asking what ye will, and it will be done unto you. Remember, let's think about this. If one is in fellowship with God, what will we ask? Or think about it this way. If you're out of fellowship with God, what will you ask? If you're out, you'll ask for selfish things. If you're in fellowship with God, then you're going to ask for those things that are in accordance to His will. If Christ's word is remaining in us, then our thoughts, Our desires are regulated by the Word of God, as we've already said. The lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh will not play a role in our asking and in our prayers. So, therefore, we would only ask for things that are good and acceptable and according to the will of God. I read one writer who said, "For one who communes with the Savior and in whom His Word dwells richly, supplication is simply the pulsation of a heart that has been won to God." How often in our service for the Lord do we pray in the power of the flesh? Or we pray for an outcome that we think we want, rather than just being in the Lord's will and allowing what we know, He'll direct us to what to pray for, because our hearts and minds will be focused on what is the Lord going to do, rather than what do I want to happen. If we're walking with the Lord, our desires will be what God desires, and those will be the things we ask for. And that's why the Lord can say, "It shall be done unto you," because it's in accordance with my will. You're walking with me. Your desires are my desires, and I will grant them because it's my will. Let's quickly move on to verse number 8 and 9. The first area of total dependence is on the Lord Jesus Christ the Vine. The second area of total dependence must be in the Word of God and in prayer. Thirdly, let's skip over to verse number 9. We're going to come back to verse 8 in a second. Skip over to verse number 9. The third area of total dependence is on the agape love of God. Look in verse number 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." If we are not now we've nailed it down about what we need to serve. We need to be in Christ. We need to be trusting His Word. We need to have a mindset of prayer with God's Word. But if we are not doing this service as the Lord is using us with agape love, then it's worthless. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in the youth group in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Gives such a wonderful list of what it means to serve in love. And Paul starts out that if we have all these great services, we have all these great gifts, all these talents and abilities, but we don't do it in love, then we are nothing. Even if we give everything, we give things away, and we have, and when we pretend to just be some great philanthropist or whatever, but deep down it's done out of selfishness to see what I can get in return, that's not done for true love. It's worthless, therefore. He talks about love being patient with people. It doesn't envy people. It isn't proudful. It seeks the best for others. It doesn't dwell on evil. It rejoices in the truth. And it adores all things and hopes for all things. This is the attitude that we have to have in service to others. We're patient with those that need to be saved. We're patient in giving the gospel. We're kind in giving the gospel, where we see the value of that soul. So many times we're so crass almost with giving the gospel. We really don't care about that soul. Oh, look what they're doing. Oh, they need to get preached at. Well, maybe that person's never, ever, ever heard the gospel before. Having to serve the Lord with agape love, where we're patient, where we want to give of ourselves to this person, not expecting anything in return, so that they can hear the gospel, because we value a soul. We value a soul. We love others in service and give the gospel not for what we can benefit from or what we hope to gain, but solely for the love of that soul that we have in our hearts that the Lord's given us, hoping that that soul will be saved from judgment. And that soul, if the gospel is presented and he accepts the Savior, that's the fruit that the husband is looking for right there. Because we've done the service in Christ to His glory, and we've done it in agape love. Now, as we close tonight, there's one last point in verse number 8. This last area where everything is to be totally given over is to the glory of the Father. Look in verse number 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." What is the entire point of serving the Lord? Is it to build up some great ministry that everybody can see? Is it so everybody can pat me on the back and see all the wonderful things I've done? Why has the Lord called us to bear fruit? Why has He called us to service so that we can give the gospel to people, so that they can come to the Savior, and then so they can be glory to the Father? So that when people see that life transformed and changed, they say, "The Lord did that. The Father did that. He saved that soul, and the glory goes to Him, not to me. I'm just the puny little branch that the Lord was merciful enough to use to bear that fruit." If we abide in Christ, then and only then can we bring forth fruit. If we try to do it apart from Christ and in the flesh, then worthless, empty fruit is produced that does not honor Christ. So to give glory to Christ it must be clearly manifested that the work and the service was only done through him. The glory will then go to God, the husbandman. Tonight, let us remember in our ministries, wherever the Lord has called any of us to be, the job, if it's here, whatever it may be, that we may be totally dependent on the vine's power, even in the small things. That will be dependent on prayer and its power, on the Word of God and its effect in our hearts, and then to do those things, serving the Lord with agape love in our hearts. Then all the glory will go to the Father for our ministry and for the lives that we contact with. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to do things for you as believers and that you've given us the power and the enablement. How foolish we are, Lord, to go outside of that, to try to think we can do things on our own. Lord, continue to remove the selfishness from our hearts, the pride from our hearts, so that we can bear more fruit. We can be more effective in the ministries you've called us to do. Father, I praise you for all that you've done. Lord, it's so humbling to think that the Savior died for us and then continues to guide and direct us and give us power. And we praise you for that, Lord. Help us to be effective witnesses, lights, Lord, salt in this world, so that glory will come to the Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.